For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to The Happy Hour with Nick Sainert.
Furby the Fourth ate his first solid food today, prompting a response of nothing but steaks all week for the Nebraska offensive line.
Then Enrique Alvarez Cleary.
No more peaches and carrots for Herbie the Seventh. Baby food be damned.
Sponsored by Empire Fence and Netting on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back into the Happy Hour one final time on a Tuesday. Nick, Rico, Austin, and Strick with you. Gentlemen, what's up?
How we doing, fellas?
Stricky, how you feeling?
I'm good.
Good. Doing anything Rainy. Exciting today?
You know me, the huge, as my partner would say. The huge.
Would I say that?
The usual. You know, my usual, routine.
Okay.
Which is...
Where's your huge milk coffee?
Cigars Lounge.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Cigars. So you going out down there? You going down there?
I can't go out there today.
Okay.
But I'm going to partake.
Yeah.
In the gifting that they blessed me with.
Well, blessed.
With my feet up and watching TV shows.
Absolutely. Well, they blessed the ticket listeners, too. So if anybody wants to go down there to Cigars Lounge, 8th and Q in the Haymarket, between 12 and 5 p.m. daily, 7 days a week, you get 15% off your tab, your entire tab. 15% off cocktails, drinks, sodas,
do they have to
cigars.
Mention the ticket?
You just got to mention that your ticket. You're a ticket listener.
You better mention your ticket listener.
That's all you got to do.
And you might even get more if you mention that you hang out on the block.
Is that right?
No, I'm just playing. I don't know.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. 402-464-5685. Honda Lincoln Hotline, Starter Heyman text line. All right, gents. I wanted to have this conversation with you guys.
I don't.
Because.
Jeez.
Because over the weekend, when Texas A&M hired their baseball coach, Michael Early, they hired a pitching coach.
Can you NIL that name?
No. It's tricky.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You are out of control. Yeah, you are out of control.
Okay. OC. It's been a long 2 hours, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I feel bad for you, Austin.
Hey, have fun. I love this man's crazy.
It's been 30 seconds. And I'm already done.
Because you guys didn't have the pizza and the taco Tuesday. If you would have had that today, I would have went nuts.
You were
been good.
You were supposed to bring it.
Oh, my fault.
Yeah, that was on you.
I missed, you missed the memo. But no, back to what I was going to say. They hired Michael Early as the head coach. Well, one of the assistants, his pitching coach is Jason Kelly, former Washington Huskies head baseball coach. That's right. A head baseball coach didn't get fired, chose to leave to be an assistant with Texas A&M in the SEC. This is the second sitting Big Ten conference coach that has left this offseason to become an assistant at another school. And Ohio State's head coach left to be the assistant at TCU.
Right.
While now Jason Kelly goes to Texas A&M. Austin, I'll start it off with you. What image does this portray when looking at the Big Ten baseball conference?
You know, the meme of all the SpongeBobs running around and the alarms blaring?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
It tells me that these Big Ten coaches don't view being a head coach of a, you know, supposed to be power conference program as a good enough stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
It tells me that coaches in the industry view being an assistant in a better conference as a better opportunity and more likely for them to get a promotion than being a sitting head coach.
Think about that, Eric, please. Let me ask you this question.
Go ahead, Strick.
With that dynamic,
yeah.
Where else does that even exist?
Well, and that's
other sport.
Well, we saw it from Chip Kelly.
We did, yeah. We saw it with Chip Kelly with UCLA moving in conference, though.
Mm-hmm.
That was bizarre.
That's crazy.
Moves from being a head coach in the Big Ten conference at UCLA, and maybe it had started to run its course, and you kind of the writing was eventually on the wall for Chip Kelly. I think UCLA probably needed a little bit of a fresh start too, but he's able to go to Ohio State in conference. And once Chip Kelly kind of, even if he wouldn't have gotten the Ohio State job, I mean, imagine a world, and I don't think this is possible because it would be quite uncomfortable, where Chip Kelly goes, yeah, you know what? I'm interested in becoming a coordinator somewhere. He doesn't get the job at Ohio State, hypothetically speaking. There is no way on God's green earth that he would ever be able to return that same season, that very next season, as a head coach of that institution. There is not a chance. So the moment that Chip Kelly made his intentions known, everybody knew he wasn't going to go back to UCLA.
He would have been Chip Patterson, or not Chip, Gary Patterson.
Gary Patterson.
Right? He would have been an analyst somewhere waiting for his next shot is what would have happened.
I find it, going back to baseball real quick, like, it's not impossible to get that jump, to get that, use this as a stepping stone.
Rob Vaughn.
Rob Vaughn's a great example. But Eric Backich was the one I was thinking most of. But what do those guys have? Championships and winning, right? Consistent winning. Rob Vaughn did it at Maryland, and Eric Backich did it for years at Michigan. And quickly, they've transcended and ascended in the college baseball world, right? Obviously, Backich, it was a name that was thrown around in some of the job opportunities this year, this offseason, with some bigger programs. And so was Rob Vaughn. Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball thought that Rob Vaughn should have been the one to get the A&M job. He was one of his favorites to get the A&M job. So when you look at it all, I just think, like, as Cigar Guy points out on the text line, it just means most of the Big Ten doesn't care about baseball. It's just geographical. Well, warm weather schools do better at baseball. I get that, and we don't need to get into that conversation. I think it's just truly fascinating. Think about this, to where, and Washington wasn't some successful ball club, but it feels a lot like a coach leaving an institution to get a fresh start. It feels kind of like, who was the Colorado offensive coordinator last year?
Sean Lewis.
Sean Lewis. I wanted to say Kent Lewis, but he came from Kent State. He was the head coach. This is what it feels like.
The best offense in the country, Kent State.
Well it feels like, it feels like where Sean Lewis wasn't all that impressive statistically at Kent State. It kind of felt like, okay, yeah, it's about to be done. Like he's about to get fired, or they're about to move on from him in the coming years. Well, guess what? Sean Lewis then leaves on his own accord. Doesn't have "I got fired" tied to his name. Ends up going to Colorado as an offensive coordinator. Has the whole drama there. Leaves, and he gets a head coaching opportunity at San Diego State, which is technically a better job than Kent State.
Probably better in Colorado right now too.
Potentially,
it's a step up from Kent State. It's weird to say. I don't know how realistic or how real this is, but like, the Big Ten as a head coach is like a stepping stone job to an assistant job in the SEC, because that's just how much better SEC baseball is than the Big Ten. It's strange, but it almost seems as if that's kind of a thing.
And there's really, to go back to what you were saying before, Nick, there's really no great parallel in sports, because even in football, I mean, you have two power conferences, but the Big 12 and the ACC are still going to get teams into the playoff, right? That's still a traditional group of five to power four jump. In basketball, you don't have that, where there's one or two leagues so clearly above the rest that all these guys down low say, I'd rather be an assistant there than a head coach here. Baseball is unique in that way. And Tony Petitti, this is a problem for him to solve. Whether it is an investment piece, whether it's an aggressive scheduling piece, whatever it is, if I'm Tony Petitti and I have this baseball background, this is a personal slap in the face. In one offseason, two coaches have left my conference because they don't see a future for themselves here, or their future isn't going to get enough of a kickstart in my conference. Yeah. I take that as a personal affront, and I get it. Football is the driver.
Yeah.
Men's basketball might be looking up. But man, with my MLB background and I see two coaches leave, that moves up to the top of the priority list.
And that's the thing. Two coaches that weren't going to be vying for a head coaching opportunity at one of those conferences.
No.
That's what's even crazier. It's like you said, right? It's okay, and you can live with the fact of the Big Ten conference is never going to be the SEC, never going to be the ACC. You have to find your lane and kind of stay in it, operate into it, in it as best as you can.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
But in all reality, the fact that two rather mediocre coaches in terms of statistics, records. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jason Kelly at Washington was 54-51 in his two seasons as the head coach of Washington. Ooh. Right? Doesn't excite you. It's not going to. And maybe that's the case of like, it's not that big of a loss. You're not losing Will Bolt to a job, or you're not losing. And I guess there's that argument to it. But my point is this. It would be better for your league, and I guess this could be grasping at straws, better for your league if coaches leave in the form of Eric Backich, to where he leaves Michigan, where he was successful, for another head coaching job. Mm-hmm. And he looks back and says, you know what? I don't get to Clemson if it wasn't for Michigan. But guess what? Now, if Jason Kelly, and granted, Washington hasn't been in the league for more than, they aren't even officially in the league yet until August 1st, but it's not going to be because of Washington I get an ACC job. It's because I was the lead assistant at A&M
that I got
a head coaching job.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to speak to, they don't normally bring you out of smaller ranks like in basketball, like mid-majors, JUCO. There's ways to progress because then your next progression is a mid-major. If however much success you can actually make a leap into a power conference.
Every offseason, there's a handful.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it just doesn't seem like that in baseball. Like, if you want to integrate, and this is the line I was taking with Nick, if you want to integrate into the power, which is the SEC and maybe Big 12, second ACC, kind of 1A, 1B-ish, but SEC is the king.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
You definitely have to kind of start from inside, internal, it seems like. It don't seem like head coaching jobs in any ACC school or whatever can get you there if you want to be in the SEC.
It's a fascinating dynamic, too, because they're younger coaches. Not young, but younger, right? It's one thing if Rob Childress, you know, is going to step down from A&M and say, hey, I see the writing on the wall. I can either leave on my own terms or get fired. Nebraska just, you know, fired its pitching coach, or I know their head coach. I'm going to throw my hat in the ring to see if he wants me to go there as a retirement gig, as a golden parachute. I think Chip Kelly is even closer to that. I'm going to guess that unless Ryan Day gets fired, Chip Kelly is done as a head coach in college football. It's one.
And then you could also argue, you know, is Brian Hartline
the guy
for that job?
Right. But I'm just saying, is an interim.
Yes.
Would you try out Hartline? Would you try Chip Kelly? I don't know. But those are, they're getting on the off ramp, right? In the Chip Kelly case, especially in the Big Ten baseball coaches, they view it as an on-ramp. What should be the interstate isn't the interstate. It's some backroad state highway that they're getting off of
Highway 6
to go get to.
What do you got against Highway 6?
Yeah, what Highway 6 do to you?
It's an offside highway.
He just said Highway 6 is Big Ten baseball.
Well, let me see. Let's add one onto that. 66, Route 66. Okay, there you go.
Okay, cool. Okay. There you go. I just think it's fascinating, right? And I thought that was something that kind of went under the radar of that a second Big Ten baseball coach, head coach, left to become an assistant at another baseball, college baseball. It's not a jump from college to professional. It's not that jump. It's same level, just in a more noteworthy conference.
It's like what you said, Austin, like you're not going to see a Big 12 or an ACC football head coach go to be the offensive coordinator at an SEC or a Big Ten school. No. You're not going to see a head coach in the Big 12 or whatever go to be an assistant coach in the Big Ten or the ACC baseball's the only one where this happens.
It's so bizarre.
And it's because the SEC and the ACC are just that much better than the other conferences.
Is Dave Aranda the next guy to make that move, though?
That's what I'm curious about, is like, do we start to see head coaches use the Chip Kelly approach? To where you kind of know, all right, I'm getting towards the end of my tenure. It's run its course. I'm a little stale around here. I haven't won as much as I wanted to.
Weird conversation with the AD last Tuesday.
Right. Like, maybe it's time I just look around at some offensive coordinator or defense coordinator in Aranda's case, because I was very successful at that. And that's what got me to be a head coach. Because once again, like in Sean Lewis's case right now at San Diego State, nobody's talking about, okay, what did you do at Kent State? Everybody was talking about, what did the offense look like at Colorado last year? Mm-hmm. It wipes any potential for a bad taste out of somebody's mouth. It gives you a chance to completely revamp your image. And once again, without the tag or the nameplate of I got fired from a job. And so with Dave Aranda specifically, I mean, that's a great example to where Baylor hasn't won in extensively, right? And Dave Aranda was obviously a highly touted hire. Ooh, goodness.
Words are hard. Welcome back.
I struggled there. I'm back here. I'm back in the seat, Stricky. Don't worry. But no, I think it just hasn't panned out as well as Baylor probably hoped.
And usually in those situations, it's you're not going to a struggling school when you're leaving as a head coach for a coordinator job in football. You're going to a school where that coordinator probably wasn't fired, probably moved on to another job. And you're a head coach with this background. And you're like, yeah, I'll come here and you'll have a better chance of winning, which then propels
you to get a head coaching opportunity. Right. That's what's crazy. Because like Dave Aranda can go into a defense coordinator interview and say, hey, look what I did at LSU. And who's going to be able to say no?
In Wisconsin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In Wisconsin. And same with Chip Kelly, because mm-hmm. he was able to go into that and say, hey, look what I did with Oregon. And look mm-hmm. look at how kind of those offenses operated, right?
Even my Eagles offenses were pretty darn good.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah. So it's a bizarre situation that we're seeing. Because once again, also in this day and age of collegiate athletics, the piece of head coaches don't want to have to deal with rosters sometimes. And mm-hmm. when you're an offensive coordinator, you only have to worry about one side of the ball. Instead of all 105.
Facts.
Man, it's crazy.
I think coaching for the old guard mm-hmm. has gotten stressful.
Oh, like, I would 100% next level, agree.
All the, just, like, I just remember talking to Fred, just even him, just all the stuff that they mm-hmm. have to do now well, compared to what it was before. Recruiting was always the thing, but coaching and recruiting and outside of that, now it's like add another 3-4 things.
And think about how important it is to have a knowledgeable compliance department nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, truly think about this, because if you're a head coach and thinking about all of this, the rules change. It feels like nowadays so often. Every couple months, there's a new court case that's settled, or there's a new rule that's installed, or whatever it may be, or there's an injunction for the NCAA, or conference realignment, and early signing days, and contact periods, no contact periods, transfer portals, guys going in the portal with a do not contact tag. Like, there's so much that not only is new, but is ever changing, that if the compliance department is not on top of it and not knowledgeable of what's going on, how do you expect your coaches to be? I would not be able to stay on top of everything or remember everything. Like you said, Austin, compliance backbone, man, you got to have a solid one. It's kind of crazy to think about all the moving pieces that, you know, we think so much of, okay, head coach, go out, recruit. They know when to go. They know when they can't go. They know who they can contact. Well, now there's a lot more to it. And mm-hmm. and if you don't have people that know the little fine print, you're as good as gone. So, all right, what's coming up on the show today, gentlemen?
First hour is going to be a little bit of Golden State Warriors talk. Are you surprised they let Klay Thompson go before Draymond? And where does that big three rank in history, modern and maybe a little older history? Which city has the best combination of franchise players? For example, Kansas City with Bobby Witt Jr. and Patrick Mahomes. Indianapolis, Anthony Richardson, and Tyrese Halliburton, best point guard in the Knicks Pacers rivalry. So we'll get into that in hour two. Maybe some more NBA free agents.
He really did that. There it is. I love how he always says, yeah, Bobby Witt and Patrick Mahomes, it's really the same.
Well, and he's like Anthony Richardson and Tyrese Halliburton.
Know your audience. Please
do it. There you have it. That'll do it for us. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow on the Happy Hour.
Adios.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.